Blog Talk Radio.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee of Triple Crown Conjure in Pensacola, Florida, and in just a moment we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurement Ali of ConjuremanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Ms. Michael of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California. Together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a quick moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurement Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi, Miss Tammy
Hi.
Lee. Nice to hear your voice. That was a strange little occurrence. We've been having some problems here with Blog Talk Radio. I finally got into the chat. I don't know, is Conjurement Ali here?
I don't think so yet, Miss Kat. Just a moment.
No. All right. Well, that's a strange thing. All right. Well, I'm going to take this little time while I can talk about what's been going on in my life and talk a little bit about what's been going on in my life. So I wanted to say a big hello and howdy to folks who have dropped by the shop, said hi. Y'all know who you are. I'm not going to call anybody's names who might want privacy, but we had a lot of friends come by. Say hello. There's been a lot of interesting stuff going on in the shop. Dave and I have been working on a teacup project, which has been going on for 4 days now. Some of you know I'm a tea leaf reader, and I collect antique teacups that are fortune-telling teacups, not your old regular plain teacups, but the kind with symbols and astrology and playing cards and things inside of them. And over the years, I've sold along and passed along duplicates from my collection. And I noticed that the shelves were getting barer and barer, and I realized there were many, many teacups in the barn that had not been entered into inventory. So there are 100 different fortune-telling teacups going back in date to 1899, most of them dated from 1904 to about 1935. And we are documenting them and getting them online as fast as we can. Also, a big thank you to Nagashiva and to Ernie for helping with that project. The teacups are going to be featured in the next issue of the Lucky Mojo newsletter, which should have come out on August 1st, but didn't because we're still documenting and cataloging teacups. And I want to also give a thank you to Leah, who has been working on the newsletter and getting it set up. So it's going to be a little while, but there's going to be not only a lot of teacups for sale, but a lot more documentation about them, the Museum of Fortune-Telling Teacups. And as it is, I've kind of let that part of my life go while I did other things, but it is an important part of African-American culture. And you can also see and read about teacup fortune-telling in the Black community dating back to the 1890s in the webpage I have at the Mystic Tea Room called lamadama.html. It was actually a something that originated on this show when Fred Burke, Deacon Millett was a guest, and I let loose talking to a client about Lama Dama, explaining that Lama Dama is a Cuban thing and doesn't really have a lot to do with African American culture, and that instead we can look to our own culture for what we need to know about hoodoo. We don't need to look overseas. And today, just in honor of that, I'm going to give a little quote from Little Richard Penniman. I love it. He was being interviewed on television, and he said, "I'm not from Africa. I'm from Macon, Georgia." Those are words to live by. All right. So we're gonna go into the teacups in African American divination in a little bit. It'll be part of the newsletter, and there's going to be a lot of it going on. Just wanted people to know about that. Now, have we pulled up Conjurman Ali yet? I'm guessing the answer to that is no.
I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Oh, there you are.
Hello,
okay.
Hello. Sorry, I had a little bit of a technical glitch on my part.
Well, it wasn't just on your part, sweetheart. I almost didn't get in either. There was some technical, glitch. So, hey, glad you're here, baby, because otherwise I would have just kept on talking. you know me. There's always a subject. How are things in Ali land?
Things are quite well, trying to stay out of the heat. Had some very interesting client work this past week. Clients that are requesting situations that I have not dealt with before. Not cases that I haven't, conditions that I'm very familiar with, but circumstances that are very unique. I'll give you an example. I've done reconciliation work, breakup work for a long, long period of time, and I'm pretty familiar with all the different kind of dynamics of it. There's polyamorous, there's people trying to get back together with a lover versus a marriage. For the first time, I have had a mother approach me who wanted to do reconciliation on her polyamorous son, and wanted to get her son back together with his ex-girlfriend while he's currently dating someone else. Now, it was the first time I've ever had something like that, and I thought that's very sweet of his mother, to be so into his love life and really want happiness for him and be so open-minded. And so it was a very interesting request.
That's neat.
I've never had that happen before.
Well, it's funny because I have, but I deal with a different set of clients. That's kind of one of those interesting things,
Right.
Professor Porterfield and I have talked about that often. Who are your clients? Who are my clients? Clients sort themselves out. So to me, what you just described as unusual for you, I'm like, oh, yeah, I do that all the time. Isn't that funny?
Yeah,
but there's other things
clientele.
That you do that I... I've never been flown to Dubai to rid a house of ghosts, but I have a couple of people I know who've been done to do that, and I'm like, why don't they ever tap me to do that?
That's
so
funny.
There you go. Or to get rid of gins.
Different clients?
I've never been asked to get rid of ghosts or gins, actually. I guess I'm just too gin friendly and ghost friendly or something. I don't know. Anyway, yeah. So that's interesting. All right. Well, our guest today is Miss Michael, co-author of Hoodoo Bible Magic, and a longtime member of the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, and a longtime member of Hoodoo Psychics, our company that does telephone readings. So welcome to the show, Miss Michael.
It's good to be back again.
How are things in delightful Northern California, a few miles from where I live? You're out there in Willits.
It's hot.
It's hot.
somebody posted a meme on Facebook yesterday. It's hot outside when you go outside and it's hot. We don't have to go outside. So, you know, I've got candles melting that are not supposed to be melting, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Speaking of candles, I have been experimenting with improving the quality of the candles I've been getting from various sources. Sometimes the wax is, lately I got a batch that the wax was so soft it was like Crisco. You could scoop it out of the glass with your fingers, and of course it burned too fast and very black.
Mm-hmm.
So I was experimenting with fixing those, and I thought, you know, if I broke up some broken tapers and put those in there, that might help when I remelt them. And results are encouraging but not conclusive yet. So
you want stearic acid, baby.
Stearic acid. Thank you. I was wondering what that was for.
Stearic acid. Yeah, that's what it's for.
Okay, all
right. The old candle maker speaks.
Uh-huh.
You can put in so much stearic acid that candles are brittle and will flake apart layer by, you know, dip candles will flake, the layers will flake apart because they don't bond. Too much stearic acid.
Mm-hmm.
Things turn to a puddle, not enough stearic acid. Remember, we're dealing with paraffin, and paraffin is not a natural wax. We are making a wax from it. It's not like beeswax, which is a natural wax. So paraffin, you know, we're talking about oil, you know, like kerosene, right? And they're making it into a wax, so you want that stearic acid. That's what it's for. Sprinkle, sprinkle. Don't put in too much.
Uh-huh.
You'll enjoy it.
Okay, so I'll look up how much to use per pound, and yeah, that's another thing to experiment
with. I don't know what you're starting with, baby. They're
that's right, and I never know. I often don't know either.
And from one batch to the next, man, we got a batch right now. It's turning liquid halfway down the glass, right? It's turning into a frickin' oil lamp. You know what I'm saying? Now, you know, Anita Perez says in the chat room, adding beeswax can help. Yeah, but that's expensive, baby. You want to add stearic acid. That's what they do in the factories. It just thickens it up. Do not whip in the air. That's another way to stiffen it, but that'll just melt out. Don't on a hot day. There are many, many ways to do it. Papa G says 1 to 2 teaspoons per pound. I'm more on the 1 teaspoon level if you've got wax to start with.
Yeah.
But if what you've got is basically liquid dyed oil that they have just kind of frozen up a little bit by getting it to 60 degrees, and that's it, and after above 60 degrees it starts to liquefy, 2 teaspoons. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But I just do it by sprinkling. I just, you know, pinch, sprinkle like I was cooking. Sprinkle, sprinkle, sprinkle. Let it dry. What do I like? A little bit more next time, you know. This is well-known candle magic working stuff. I mean, it's nothing. Jellyfish Rising said candle secrets. Uh-uh. No, Papa G knows. We all know. Anybody who's been a professional candle maker.
Yeah.
And Anita Perez says, some people object to it because it's derived from beef fat. Well, tough shit.
Well,
okay?
Yeah.
Tough shit.
It's like if I was a Hindu, I'd think twice.
Beef fat, you got a worse problem. It's frickin' paraffin from the goddamn fracking industry, okay?
Uh-huh.
We're talking fracking. So if you want to be pure, 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 it ought to be, soy wax, says Papa G. No, fuck, man. Soy wax, that's just more paraffin that's just been poured into the gasoline engine that plowed the plains, that made the dust bowls, that chewed up the land. No, there ain't no safe way to make wax. I mean, what you going to do? Beeswax. How are you going to get bees? All the bees are dying. Stop using the fucking pesticides, assholes. You know, fracking. Shiva says, not everyone knows what fracking is. Fracking is hydraulic fracturing of shale oil beds, which are like they inject liquid into it, and it blows it apart, and then they suck it all out, and they get the oil out that was trapped in the shale. Okay, and it's causing earthquakes all over the Midwest. Look, there is no, I mean, it's too many people. Let's just call it what it is. There's too many fucking people on the earth, and y'all want a nice candle. Everybody, all 7 billion people want a nice candle. It ain't going to happen. If you don't like stearic acid, you don't like paraffin. If you don't like paraffin and you like beeswax, you can't have pesticides. And yes, fracking is very dangerous and contaminates water supplies, says Anita Perez. Go look on YouTube for pictures of people opening up their water tap, striking a match, and lighting their water on fire.
That's
okay?
Right.
All right. So there is, and Papa G says, there's no organic non-GMO soy wax, and don't let people selling it fool you. Okay? So that doesn't mean candle magic is something that we've got to give up. It just means... Don't be, what was it? What was it that Jesus said about the mote in your neighbor's
mm-hmm.
eye and the beam in your own?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, I'm not going to use stearic acid because it's made with beef fat. Yeah, right. I'd rather have fracking. Oh, come on.
No.
Just saying.
No.
I'd rather burn an honest tallow candle than I would engage in nationwide fracking. That's all. But, you know,
yeah.
The truth is it's all a problem. And that gives me something else, too, just really quick before we go on to our real topic, which is, is candle magic the essence of hoodoo? No.
Came in
no.
kind of late,
candle magic
didn't it?
Is candle magic is a part of, a big part of hoodoo, and it looks really good in photographs. Really good in photographs. But that's not the bestest, oldest thing in hoodoo. The bestest, oldest thing in hoodoo is working with roots, which is why it's called root work. I mean, it's called candle magic, and we do an awful lot of candle magic. It's a good way to do proxy work, long-distance work. But when people tell me, what candle can I burn for this? There's part of me that goes, have you tried actually sprinkling some dust where they're going to walk?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I couldn't do that. I need you to burn a candle. All right. End of preaching. That was preaching. I'm sorry.
Yep.
But,
no.
Yeah.
I'm not sorry. I always learn something.
Yeah, right. Stearic acid, huh? All righty. So let's get to our actual topic. Boy, that was a sideways. Unseen roadblocks and underlying issues in spell work. Hey, well, maybe this was an unseen roadblock and underlying
That's
issue.
Right. Yeah, it goes right in because I've had, you know, with these crappy semi-liquid waxes I'm getting lately, I've had a lot of false positives in my candle
yes.
work. I've had candles burning black when nothing was wrong with the situation. And
Correct.
Me and the client get all freaked out for nothing.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. This is you actually... Let's stick with that topic for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
Unseen roadblocks and underlying issues.
Yeah.
When the Gulf War, number one Gulf War, not Gulf War number two, when Gulf War number one happened, all of a sudden price of oil went up, 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 and we couldn't keep a candle lit to save our asses. We were splint wicking them. We were doing everything. And, of course, you splint wick them, they get black inside and everything. We go into the church and the whole, like, you know, it would be like a wall of black soot.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, man, is all magic gone south? I mean, you know, no, it was the goddamn Gulf War, the price of gas, and they were trying to make cheaper candles. Then they came up with the idea of making the glass tube smaller so they'd put less wax in it. Because remember, wax, paraffin wax, that's basically just gasoline under another name, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It comes out of the cracking plant out of a different tube, but it went in the cracking plant from the same tube, you know.
Yes.
And They made the tube, the glass tube, smaller, but then they wouldn't burn either. Then they don't burn for 7 days, and you can't do a proper spell, and blah, blah, blah. Then we got Gulf War number two. So then they started whipping air into them. Now, I'm just telling you the truth. I don't run a big old factory casting paraffin candles. They do that down in places where they have the big old ships that come in with the oil. You know, all them glass visual candles come from places like L.A. area, down in Dallas, down where the oil is. And some
mm-hmm.
of them up in Chicago, they come in up through the Great Lakes, you know, and they make them up there, up New York. Well, all these glass candles, these guys are trying to make a little penny on them. You know, they're just trying to make a little penny. And we went through the phase where all of the glass was crooked. Remember that phase, Michael? All the glass holders were warped and weird, and they were coming from, like, Indonesia, and they were, like,
uh-huh.
made wrong. Then we went through the phase where everything is, like, turning liquid. Now, we got some. I'm just going to tell you, we've had times where no purple candle will burn. Every other color
mm-hmm.
will burn, but no
yeah,
purple
candle
won't burn. Yeah,
I had a problem with every yellow candle burning black a couple years ago. Yeah.
Right. A couple of years ago it was yellow. Oh, I remember that, and I'm not going to call names, but that was when they set up that plant in Dallas and they couldn't make those things and they had to get them from Mexico. I could call the names of the people who did that, and every yellow candle in America was shit. And then
mm-hmm.
they had every purple candle in America. Then every black candle in America was shit. Right now, we got a batch of black candles we can't hardly keep to burn. And
mm-hmm.
You got to relight them and relight them. Now, you talk false positives. Right, but it is an underlying issue. And, you know, we are trained to read signs, but some
yep.
of the signs we have to read are signs about our larger culture, our larger
mm-hmm.
a world, you know. Mm-hmm. Look what's going on in the world right now. World ain't doing too well this last few weeks. It's been pretty lousy,
yeah.
You know. And candles won't burn. Well, it's just all part of the same holistic thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all I'm going to say about that. But it is true that this is, it is a problem, and it depends on the maker. You know, Professor Ames says, too small a wick. Oh, yeah, there's that one. But that was because they kept on changing the size of the glass tube. But they, meanwhile, they had, you know, spools and spools, like the size of a telephone cable spool full of wick, right?
That they had to go through. They couldn't throw it out.
They had to go through that wick. They don't want to throw that wick away. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Manufacturers of tools are important to spell work requiring technology, says Shiva. Right. And Candelo says, I'm burning lamps. That's a good one. Burn lamps is easier.
Let's get vegetable oil and some cotton string. You can do a lot of good work with that and a colored glass.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. And let's talk about unseen roadblocks, underlying issues. Now, I know when you brought up this topic, you meant something else other than technology.
Mm-hmm.
I think
yeah.
you meant something like the lady who comes. This is a classic. Lady who comes to me. I just want to know if he's coming back to me, if
mm-hmm.
he still loves me. You know, we haven't been talking. It's kind of been on and off.
Yeah.
And then you ask her if you have the bravery and the guts to ask her, as Candela would say, if you have the balls to ask her, because you're supposed to be the psychic, and
mm-hmm.
psychics don't like to ask a question. But go ahead. Ask that question. How long has it been since you see? I haven't seen him in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
That was
yeah.
an unseen underlying issue. Right.
Yeah, he's got a whole new life by now.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's the other kind of thing that I think we were going to be talking about, underlying issues
yeah,
that are...
Yeah, that's more like the kind of thing I had in mind.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. You run with it.
Okay. Well, for instance, I've had two clients in the past few years trying to bring wives back home who had left,
mm-hmm.
leaving unhappy marriages, and women who were not very happy in the first place. And... So this latest client, he started asking me about coercive work. Well, can you make her fight with the people who are encouraging her to leave?
Mm-hmm.
And I tried it. It didn't work very well. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the underlying issue there was that she just didn't have much to go back to if she came home. But he kept on. He kept saying, can you make her lose her job so she can't pay her rent, so she
mm-hmm.
has to come back home?
Mm-hmm.
I said no. Because now she's going
mm-hmm.
to be afraid, and
mm-hmm.
fear is no foundation for a marriage.
Okay.
And then then he said, can you make her get pregnant so she has to depend on me? And I said, hell no, you don't want to inflict that on your next child.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So, we're not, this client and I are not talking right now. What he needs, and he sent me pictures to work those candle spells with that we did before, you know, return to me and love me and all that. And
mm-hmm.
he sent me pictures of himself and his wife together. And in not a one of them is he smiling.
Mm-hmm.
So who's
mm-hmm.
unhappy
mm-hmm.
there?
Mm-hmm.
Contrast that with another client who had a similar problem. And he said, I know she's got psychological issues. And, you know, he told me a little bit about some of them. And he was right, too. And he not only, you know, he didn't just say, can you make her fight with her evil family? He defended her against her evil family in the real world, in everyday life. He sent them away
mm-hmm.
himself. He sent them away
mm-hmm.
magically. He did strong,
mm-hmm.
attractive work with personal concerns. He respected her when she came home. He talked to her
mm-hmm.
like,
mm-hmm.
you know, like middle-class yuppies talking about
mm-hmm.
their marriage. And they're still together, and neither of them are perfect, and sometimes they fight, but they know that, you know, they know how to fix it. You know, and they
right.
don't expect perfection. So, you
mm-hmm.
know, this is...
I'm gonna jump in here with an idea. There are other underlying issues that don't have nothing to do with love relationships.
That's
I'm going to give
true.
You my classic one. So a man called me this many years ago. I'd say this is 10, 15 years ago. Very
mm-hmm.
nice man. Called me and he said, I'm having trouble getting a job.
Uh-huh.
And I want you to do some job getting work for me. And I said, all right, I'll do that. Well, this man, I burnt a candle for him and it turned black, and I was really having a good run of candles. It was an unusual black burn, is what
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to say. It wasn't like the whole batch was spoiled.
Yeah.
And I said to him, there's some, and also at the bottom of the candle there was unburned wax a ring of unburned wax. I said, there's something here that has not been covered. He goes, well, he goes, I didn't, and by the way, I had not done a reading on this. I just burnt the candle for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, can we, let's look into this deeper. He goes, well, I can tell you. He says, I have a felony police record.
Mm.
And I said, well, why didn't you tell me in the first place? What am I burning a steady work candle if you got a felony police record? We got to go back farther. That's an unspoken issue.
That's right.
We need to get that thing taken care of. And there's two ways to take care of it. We've got to do both. One is to bury it magically, and the other is find out what hoops you have to jump through to get this thing expunged from your
mm-hmm.
record. Because
mm-hmm.
he was young when he had done this thing. And it wasn't anything serious. It was he'd stolen a car and driven it around and got caught. And of course, what was he trying to get as a job? He was trying to work in a car lot selling cars. Can you believe that? The man really loved cars, you know.
Yes.
And I'm like, no, we got to deal with this. We got to deal
uh-huh.
with this. And we got to deal with reparations. And so in the end, I ended up having to kind of do a little bit of counseling that was a social counseling, social work
right.
as well. But, you know, he did finally realize he wasn't going to get a job in the car industry. That wasn't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went and got a job doing something else, which he didn't like as much, but it was a job.
Yeah.
And we closed out the matter as successfully as we could. But you see, the roadblock was in my way, and I didn't even know it because I had
mm-hmm.
never done a reading on it. I just,
mm-hmm.
I'm lighting this candle, and it's coming up bad. You
yeah,
know?
But the candle popped it to the surface, didn't it?
That's right. The candle
yeah.
showed me that there was an unspoken issue here. How about you, Ollie? What do you think about these unseen roadblocks when we're doing spell work?
Yeah, this is why I'm so big at doing readings at the beginning of root work, but you don't always get the chance to do it. There are cases like magical coaching or making mojo bags or lighting candles that really don't require a reading. It's a service we provide for people. And that's often where I come across unseen roadblocks the most. With actual more intense root work, I'm able to kind of do the reading and go, wait a minute, there's something here that we need to address. There's this issue. You're looking into the wrong field. You need to be doing this. What's going on here in the relationship? But it's often the cases of, you know, I had this candle lit for me and I'm still not getting it. Well, the candle burned black and I see, you know, it cracked. Oh, that's because, you know, I have a restraining order against me. Oh,
yeah, right.
Okay, that makes sense. Now I know why there's a problem there. So I do see stuff like that, but this comes from a variety of different places. One, clients not really understanding spiritual work, right?
Mm-hmm.
More often than not, these are people who come in and they see spiritual work as a pill. I take it and my issue goes away. They don't see it as a relationship involving working together that involves one part counseling, one part spiritual work, one part practical work. They don't see that. And so that's one part of it. The second part of it is outright deception, right? I'm just trying to get my ex-girlfriend back. I really love her. I've always loved her. Well, reading shows you guys actually didn't date. You stalked her. I didn't
mm-hmm.
stalk her, but we had a one-night stand, and I've been following her ever since. I'm like, well, that's stalking, you know. So, you know, that's deception. That's deception on the part of the client. But then there's also a third aspect that I would say, and that is spiritual conditions that are sometimes unseen. Someone comes
mm-hmm.
up and goes, you know, I just can't find love in my life. Then all love work is falling apart. Well, you find out that they actually have a crossed love condition, that a former
mm-hmm.
lover has cursed
mm-hmm.
them. Or one
mm-hmm.
of the ones that is more frequently talked about, kind of social situations affecting magical work, to tie it kind of back into the earlier topic. People
mm-hmm.
who are affected by environment. I have had to deal with soldiers coming back from war,
mm-hmm.
dealing with either curses on them or attracting, in the case of Middle East conflict, jinn that they bring back home. And then
mm-hmm.
this happens, and it's actually more frequent than people realize. Not as frequent. I don't want to have a rash of people go, I have jinns on me, I have jinns on me. No. But it is more than you would think. And it happens. And so for them, they go, I don't know, life is just falling apart. You know, I'm happy. Things to be going, you know, I'm upbeat. I try to keep positive, but everything else falls apart. Having these terrible nightmares. I'm like, oh, dude, you've got this thing that's followed you home. So I would say that there's three kind of, for me, in my experience, three underlying conditions. People who just don't get spiritual work, and because of that lack of information or ignorance, you know, there's something there. People who outright deceive you or try to word their reading in a clever fashion, I would say, and then spiritual underlying conditions.
Well, you know, you're right on that, and I don't want this to be a client shaming session.
Right.
Because it's not always the client's fault. But sometimes the client is inadequately integrated into African American black folk magic, and they come for hoodoo thinking it's going to do something for them that it is not going to do for them, like, for instance, cure their cancer. And or they might think it's going to do something for them that it could do for them if they would just relax and let the process happen, but they're not going to do that. Or it could be that they think in terms of a different culture, their own culture, what is going on, and they define it that way, and they don't understand that the remedies and root work practices that we practice are based on a different cultural paradigm than theirs.
Absolutely true.
And I always say to people, and I've said this back way back in the 1990s, in the days of Usenet, I would always say, in fact, I believe it's in that correspondence course, you have to understand the culture of the person who you're helping before you can adequately help them. And that is the root worker's task. You cannot force a Protestant person to venerate a saint. You cannot, that's not going to solve their problem. So those are also roadblocks, and those that was just one example. I could give you a million more. But I could give you an example, and again, not to call out anybody's name, but a person who insists that an animal be sacrificed in order to take off a curse to someone who comes from a culture where animal sacrifice is not the norm and is actually frightening and appalling. Mm-hmm. You need to, as a root doctor, you need to be able to say, I'm sorry, we're not even speaking the same language. So some of the roadblocks may be cultural, and I'm not trying to shame root workers any more than earlier I was trying to shame clients. But there's this little dance that has to happen between the client and the root worker where they both are honest, open, and tell what they do, where the client says, these are the conditions that prevail, and I'm not going to fake it and tell you something bullshit and get in order to get you put your, you know, fantastic juju power on my problem, but I'm going to tell you what really is happening. And where the root worker isn't going to say, I want your money no matter what, and I'm going to take this case even though culturally, socially, and personally it is not to my liking, or I cannot be adequate for you. So those are some of the roadblocks that I see. Then we talked about earlier the technological roadblocks. All the candles in America are fucked up this week, you know, because somebody turned on the wrong tap at the cracking plant. You know what I mean? And we're all downstream of some giant petroleum industry, and we all got bad candles. What are we going to do? They're not going to take those candles to the dump. They're going to get rid of 100,000 purple candles that don't burn for shit, and we have to take it. So there are many things that happen, and we have to be honest about that. One of the things that I do like to talk about is when the candles go bad, I don't like to hide it, like, you know, pretend it didn't happen. I'll talk about it up front. You know, there's so many parts to what we do, but it is a part of human culture, and all of the things that can go wrong with human culture can go wrong with us.
That's right.
And,
I've been having clients lately who say that they're having a lot of trouble getting jobs. Have I been crossed? Have I been cursed? And the cards lately have consistently said, no, everything's going to be wonderful. You're going to thrive. You're going to prosper.
Yeah.
And so I tell people, no, you don't have any enemies. Well, okay, you are the captive of spirits named Goldman Sachs and the Koch brothers.
Right.
In 2008, the bankers threw for the whole country. That's your problem.
When the big recession hit 2008 and all those foreclosures followed suit, I mean, I was getting people, they wanted me to magically undo it for them, and I'm like, the whole country's going down in foreclosure flames, baby. You know, we can maybe hope that you're going to be one of the 1% that can talk your way out of this, but I'm not sure that's going to be possible. Now, I do specialize in helping people with those kind of financial issues. I really do. But you know, you got to tune your expectations to the tenor of the times, right?
That's right.
And Shiva mentions zodiacal periodicity. That's another one.
Yeah.
We all know Mercury retrograde, but there's a few other retrogrades, and there's a few other long-term squares and things that happen, and we just go, ooh, you know, we're all fighting a battle. We're all trying to swim upstream on this one. Not that it can't be done, but an unseen block is one that we haven't looked at. Once we see it, we can do what we can to rectify it. Now, what would
you do
to rectify? If all the purple candles burn like shit, burn white candles, because white candles will do for any color.
That's right. And you can decorate them.
And I've never seen white candles burn like shit. Never have. Never. They're fine, right? Usually. I mean, I've seen a few. There was one during the Gulf War, there was even the white candles were like foaming at the mouth. But, you know, but what can you do when Mercury's retrograde? Well, put a little mercury oil on things and you know, do something else. So there is a ways to do that. Oh, Jellyfish Rising mentions the white film. You are so right about the white film. That's been a recent one. And Madam Nadia says white is one of the worst here and green. No, we've got good white and good green. See, but you're getting them from a different factory than us, Nadia. You're out there in Chicago. These come out of different cracking plants. Honest to God, we're just at the end of a pipeline, you know. We could have a hotline for how's the wax? That would be funny. How's your wax? All right. Well, I think we've covered a whole lot of different kinds of unseen roadblocks and underlying issues, and they all have to be dealt with in different ways. We ought to get on to our clients. Miss Tammy Lee has taken her leave, and I was informed here that that Papa Newt is going to be our announcer for the rest of the show. Professor Amos made me laugh. 1-800, how's your wax? Yeah. Yep. And, of course, there are people who won't burn vigil candles because they want to burn hand-dipped tapers, and that's always a good way to go, too. All right. So let's turn it over to Papa Newt, and we're going to have our first client will be Elihu. All right, Papa Newt.
Thank you, Miss Kat. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, and this week's special guest, Miss Michael, will be right back. We'll be taking your calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divinations and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediations. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo forum at form.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you fill out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now at 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, I would like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller, and they're calling from Eugene, Oregon, of area code 541. Elihu, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. Welcome to the show. Now, I do see that you have, this is your first time on the show. You have never had any readings from any other members of AIR on this situation. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right.
I did go on the Lucky Mojo forum and was recommended to come on the show.
Oh, excellent. And I do see your description here, which I'll go ahead and read now.
All
right. Right. I have dreams in which dream people come to me and tell me incense to make, spells to do, and get up and do them, usually at 4 in the morning. A big, very black man came to me recently and told me to make a concoction of coffee, basil, salt, or sugar, grind it together, put it in a container, and give it to my mother. My mother is living with me, 89 years old, and just broke her neck from falling. One, what did I make? And two, who could this spirit be? I suspect a djinn or a loa. I turn it back over to you.
Translating culture.
That's a very interesting question. All right, Ellie, I'm going to say a couple of questions for you. First of all, what's your sign of the zodiac?
I'm a Capricorn.
Capricorn, that's a very practical sign. Now, you described this dream person who came to you as a big, very black man. What is your skin color?
Oh, I'm kind of golden.
You're kind of golden. Do you identify as a person of color?
I don't know. I'm very light golden. I'm a Cherokee woman, and that puts you in kind of a, you know, people look at you and go, oh, you don't look like an Indian to me kind of thing. But I'm just like a very light golden color.
Okay, so but you don't identify as a black American?
No.
Okay, so this person was unusual to you in this way. All right. The concoction was coffee, basil, salt, or sugar. Well, coffee is used to wake things up, you know, get things going. It's just it's a stimulant, and that's how it's used. It's used to take off bad spells and things like that. Basil is used for getting rid of evil. It's also used for a happy home, for harmony in the home, and it is a very old sacred herb also among Indian people, and, you know, of India, not, in other words, not Native American. Salt is used for protection the world around because salt is used to preserve foods the world around, and so it symbolically has been attached to the idea of preserving any condition that you wish to have stay or protect any condition. Sugar is to sweeten. Salt or sugar are not interchangeable in most spell work. They're quite different, but you know, they're both little white crystals, but they're quite different in their effect. So you were to grind this together, salt, basil, and coffee, or salt or sugar, basil, and coffee, and give it to your mom. Well, the sugar, basil, and coffee would be to make harmony in the home and make her more alert. The coffee, basil, and salt would be to protect her. Now, you say she fell down and broke her neck. I hope she's all right. Is she okay?
Yes, she's not having paralysis. She is here, and she's recovering well. But occasionally we go out and burn that together as incense, but she also carries it with her.
Okay. So you were told to do this. And you wondered, what did you make? Well, I think I've covered what you made. In other words, it's an alertness, it's a protective, and it's a family happiness thing.
Draw.
And it also gets rid of evil. Who could the spirit be? You suspect a djinn or a loa? All right. A djinn is a Middle Eastern name for a kind of a class of Middle Eastern spirits. I would doubt that this black man would be a djinn, although they did have black people in the Middle East, and there are black djinns and white djinns as well. But my feeling is, why would a djinn bother coming to you if you're basically a Cherokee person? Why would a djinn just, you know, oh, I got to drop in on that person over there. They might. I mean, they might go in like, oh, look, there's someone in trouble. I got to go help. There are good djinns and bad djinns. If you feel it to be a djinn, we could do a reading on it. But I'm not feeling a djinn here. I'm just, you know, loa. Now, what's a loa? Loa is our African deity, spirit type creatures who are from the religion of voodoo. And especially that term is used by Haitians and Americans of Haitian descent and white people who have been initiated in Haitian voodoo religion to describe their deities. Again, can't exactly see why a loa would come to you. I would be more inclined to think that this is somebody from your own background. You may be of mixed race. This may be a black person who was an ancestor. There are black Cherokees, as we know. It may also be a person who was somehow connected to your mother's family as a friend or something like that, who simply wants to be of service and help. The formula is good. I would actually put both sugar and salt in it, by the way, not just or. The formula is good. It's not a bad formula in any way. And it is protective, it is helpful, and it does increase alertness. But I think that people have a tendency to always be looking for deities and higher power spirits when there may be nothing more than the spirit of the dead or the spirit of someone who is a helper spirit who goes out in dreams and helps. So my sense, and I've had people to tell me, well, I've dreamed about this thing and I had to join this religion because of it. I'd take a few steps back before I'd go that far, and I would say thank you and ask this spirit, come back to me again. Who are you? Tell me who you are. That's my opinion of it. I don't think it's a djinn or a lawa. I think it's a human, all right? Human. And it may be a spirit of somebody who is deceased. That's my sense of it. That's my reading of it. Let me turn this over to Miss Michael. Miss Michael, how do you read it?
Well, I tried looking at my pyrite crystal and didn't see too much. I saw a hooded, robed figure. It could be a ghost. It could be, a human, someone who has passed on. And then I turned to the Bible, 1 Samuel 20, verse 13, the Lord do so and much more. So whoever this is, I can't always get a name or an identification when I get a prompting from the Spirit, when I sense personality. I can't always get a name. But in this case, at least we know that this is a good spirit who means you well, and this spirit gave you a good formula. And if this is the same spirit that has come to you, has made a habit of coming to you at 4 in the morning and giving you formulas, my reading tells me that this is from a friend of the Lord, if you will, a friend of the love supreme who means you well and can be trusted.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I dig that a lot. All right. Now let's turn this over to Ollie. And again, I don't think we need a root work thing here, but maybe you might give her some insight onto why would a spirit of an ancestor, a spirit of a friendly dead who may have known the family, a spirit, some have said here in the chat room, a spirit of the land, why would such a spirit come to a person, and how would you deal with that spirit, Ollie?
You know, I couldn't agree more with everything that's said. I think there is sometimes a tendency or an interest for spirits to be from other places, but we forget that ancestors first, right? First and foremost, those are the spirits
yes.
that are close to you. Those are
Amen.
The ancestors. Those are the ancestors that are tied to your blood, and those are the spirits that are most interested in making sure things go right in your life, and they're the ones that are going to be most vocal. I don't know how many
mm-hmm.
times I've had someone come to me because they know I come from a background from the djinn tradition. They go, oh, I have this djinn in my life. And I go, nope, you don't. And I've had to kind of bear the bad news for them. They go, oh, so it's just my great-uncle and me. What do you mean you're just your great-uncle so-and-so? You should be so happy that your ancestor is speaking to you because there could be no greater spirit to protect you and guide you than your ancestor. So ancestors first, and I agree with Kat. I really get an impression this is not a djinn, this is not a lawa. And I'm not sure why you said those two spirits specifically. Maybe you have an interest in Middle Eastern spirits, or you have an interest in Afro-Caribbean spirits and African diasporic spirits. I'm not sure why you picked those versus your number. Anything else?
I picked those. Oh, do you want me to tell you?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. I picked those because I have had, although I had tall people come to me in my dreams, but I've never had, this was really, really clear, and he made me repeat it several times in my dream. He was like, okay, now tell me again. What are you going to do? You know? And the reason I picked those is because I've never had a big black man come to me in my dream before, and I thought that was very interesting. However,
I'm going to break in right now. Remember when I just opened this show? I just opened this show by quoting Little Richard. I'm not from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Macon, Georgia. Don't go looking for the exotic baby. This is a big black man, period. The end. He spoke English. He spoke English, right? Yeah, that's what you got. You got a big black man. He's probably from Macon, Georgia, honey. And
he acted like
now.
A grandpa. Now, repeat back to me what
yeah,
I told
right.
you.
Yeah, right. And he, but I think he may be somebody who knew this type of stuff, who maybe felt that your mom, maybe your mom had helped him across the street one time. You don't know. It may not even be. Like Ollie said, ancestors first, and I would then add to that friends second.
Yes.
And maybe she did a good turn to some little somebody,
And that's
somebody's. We have a long history in the South, our entire family. And so that
I think that about covers it. I think that about covers it. All right.
Okay.
So I think what you need to do is take the advice that was given. It was good advice. And who knows? But that without that, you that incident of your mother falling might have been fatal. So you know, we got something good going. Let's appreciate it for what it is, and let's not tart it up with exoticism when it could just be down home. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Let's move on to our.
Thank you very
much. One quick little suggestion, just so you don't walk away with any room. I would recommend calling the spirit back before you go to your sleep. Keeping a little bit of Althea next to your bedside, a cup of water, can help with that. And to ask him who he is and get to know him. And this spirit can turn out to be helpful more than just once, but regularly.
That's right.
And you can develop a really good relationship with him and find out that, yes, this is the spirit of your ancestor. Or, yes, this is the spirit that's closely related to your family. It may not be a blood relation, but there's a symmetry there, right? That he may have been an ally of your mother's, or he may have been an ally of your ancestors, because that's also a spiritual ancestor, not a blood ancestor. But you can do that by keeping a little bit of Althea in a bowl, a cup of water by your bedside, and just call out, go, spirit, come to me in my dream and speak to me. And spirit, if you show them interest, they will appear. It's not communication with spirit is actually not as difficult as long as you're open to it. So open yourself up, and the spirit will come back, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And Madam Nadia just threw a little thing in the chat room. I'm going to give her a shout-out for that. Light a white candle, say thank you.
Yes.
Good advice.
I will do all that.
Good. All righty. Good advice. All right, hon. Let's turn this back over to our announcer, who I'm not sure whether it's going to be Papa Newt or Miss Tammy Lee. I'm just going to hear that beautiful voice of whoever it is.
Well, Miss Cal, I think it might be me, and y'all... Welcome to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, and thank you so much for joining us. And everyone, support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Rooters and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. And our next client is calling in. This is Palomina, and I'm looking for Palomina's. We've got 917, just looking for her post here in the Lucky Mojo forum. Palomina, are you there, caller?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, it's Palomina. Very good. Okay, very good. Here we go. And thank you so much for joining us today. I know that you had signed up in previous weeks. And if you could please, I'm just scrolling up. Are you signed up under any other name?
Marcella. I'm sorry. Yes, Marcella.
Marcella. Okay, good. Okay, yeah. Marcella. Okay, great. Okay, just hang tight with me there, beautiful. Hang tight. And here we go. Tam's having a few difficult – there we go. There you are, precious. Okay, I got you. Okay, Marcella, here we go. Okay. Yes, you've been on the show before, and October 2013, and it looks like you have not had yet another reading from Conjurman Ali or Miss Cat. And she writes, if my computer will cooperate, here we go. I am overwhelmed and feeling completely stuck in my life from others, hindering any progress that I make in all aspects of my life, social, love, and financial. I feel like something is working against me, and I want to find out if I am blocked or crossed. So help me clear my paths. Turning it back over to you.
All right. I'm going to note it here that we did talk to you in October 2013, and you say that conditions have not changed. So let me get refreshed here, because you've got a couple of names, Marcella, Palomino. We got a lot of callers. Did we give you some prescriptions at the time, and did we give you, well, for instance, what did we tell you to do the first time in October 2013?
In October, it was something else. It was regarding just someone that I was interested in, and I wanted to know if there was something there.
Oh, I see. So it really was a different...
Okay, so it was a totally different condition, different situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought I had put that in there, but sorry.
Okay, no, that makes sense. I understand that. Okay. So this is now just total stuckness. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I recognize your voice, actually. You're beginning to sound familiar. Remind me, what's your sign of the zodiac?
It's Gemini.
Gemini. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. So we're going to turn this over to Ali for a reading on being totally stuck in life and feel like something is working against you and want to find out what it is.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, Kat. Professor Ames asked a question that I think is pertinent in the chat room. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
you never ask a girl her age. I'm 41.
Okay, you didn't have to tell the exact age. You could tell the decade. The reason we ask is to check for astrological things. People at a certain age will go through, for example, a Saturn return, and that can contribute to why someone is blocked. And the reason I do ask is it's pertinent to the reading in front of me. The first card that I have is the Moon card. The Moon card shows us two dogs or two animals, one is a dog and one is a wolf, howling up at the moon. Moon is distant and remote, and there's a small crawdaddy climbing out of the waters, the depth of the waters, and walking a winding road. This is not a curse. This is not a cross condition in the sense of someone doing it to you. The moon often speaks about a phase in your life. It can be a long phase. It can last many, many years. It could be a short phase lasting only a few months, but does talk about something going on in the depths of the waters and the road being winding. And I don't see it ending anytime particularly soon. This isn't going to end tomorrow. This is going to last a little bit longer. I would suggest that you, after this reading, consider getting an astrological chart done or a natal chart done. Professor Ames or Deacon Miller are ideal people to speak to about this situation, because both of them are also root workers and can give you root work advice accordingly. Because I sense that this may have something to do with your birth chart or the timing in your life and what's going on. You're not going through something like a Saturn return, but there may be something else going on in your chart. There may be a transit that you need to address. There may be something going on that you need to really be aware of. So the Moon card tells us this is more situational and coming from life itself rather than you being crossed. The next card that we have is the Eight of Pentacles. It shows us a young apprentice working on a pentacle, and he's putting these pentacles up, and he's cast one of these pentacles aside. You are going to have to continue on your life even though you're facing one. Obstacles. There are some situations that you're just going to have to cast aside, that you're going to have to go, it's not working out, and you're going to have to keep at it until you're able to kind of break through. This is one of those cases of water breaking through rock, okay? So it's going to require patience on your part, it's going to require persistence on your part, and you're just going to keep at it until you finally crack that wall that is in front of you. And you are going to have cases where you're going to apply, let's say you're going for a job, you'll apply, and you'll say here, no, and then maybe on the eighth time you'll hear yes, right? So be aware that this is just one of those situations that no matter how long more, keep at it, don't let yourself be disheartened, because you will have a breakthrough. It's just not an immediate breakthrough. I don't see this happening overnight. It's going to take a little bit while. The next card that we have is the Page of Pentacles. Now, Pentacles card, there's two Pentacles cards that come up. They're Earth, and that indicates very slow change, but change nonetheless that's coming ahead of you. The Page of Pentacles shows us a youthful, scholarly individual with his hand up receiving a golden coin, and he's turning away from the bath. This tells me that it is going to be a slow change, that it is going to be a gradual change, that things are going to gradually get better rather than them all happening at once. In particular, I see a breakthrough in finances and work before social circumstances or any of the other areas in your life. So be aware that money and work is going to look better for you than the other areas of your life first, but the others will follow suit, that it's going to be a gradual change as you move away from this phase in your life moving forward. So it is going to be a bit slow. It is going to require persistence on your part, and there can be some root work things that you can do to break through the obstacles, but bust through these barriers and kind of speed this process up. That's what my reading sees. Additionally, I do recommend going to see an astrologer like Professor Ames to really get a chart done. I'm going to turn this over to my colleague, see what other insights they can add to this situation.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, Ali. That was a very interesting reading. I just pulled a tarot card, and it's the Hanged Man, and that is a card of someone being hung upside down, stuck, just exactly like what you describe, through no fault of their own. They're just hung upside down. It does show that a need to reorient yourself, and it may include an entire life reorientation. In other words, I don't think someone's throwing for you. I don't think that you've been, you know, like wandered into a minefield of goofer dust and whatever. I think there's some longer-term thing happening here. Next card is the card of Temperance, another trump, and that is a card that shows an angel with two cups of water balancing the flow between these two cups, a path that's interrupted that goes through water, and that's interesting because there was this other mention of water, goes through water, and then the path picks up again and goes on until it reaches a golden crown in the sky. So this says to me that there may be some biochemical situation that has to be addressed. There may be, it's a pause, it's a time out. Be temperate, be patient, be calm, and seek help. The angel of temperance is always a helper angel and also a healing angel associated with Raphael, the great healer of God. And so I would say, yes, get an astrological reading. Get a medical checkup, too, just to make sure that what's holding you back is not predicated on any kind of hormonal internal neurological situation that is causing you to see the dark and the gloomy side of life. Remember, there's a bright and a sunny side, too. And the third card is a card that tells me you will come out of this, just as Ali said, but it is going to be by stages, and it is going to be over a bit of time. Keep your faith.
Mm-hmm.
This is the card of the Knight of Cups. It's a man who comes across a dry desert holding a cup. And just when that cup is about to dry up, he reaches a little stream. His horse keeps on moving. You don't think he's going to make it, but he does. He gets to the little stream, and he can water his horse and refresh his cup. He cannot get to his ultimate goal, which is a big tree on top of a cliff right across the creek, but he can turn downstream and find friends. Social interactions, there's about a dozen small trees, smaller goals, lots of friends, and work his way through that difficult time out of the desert, up into the valley, and then around back up into that hilltop that gets him the big vantage point that he wants. So it's going to take some time. That's what I see. All right.
Okay.
Let's turn this over to Miss Michael, and let's see what she can do as far as a quick piece of root work advice.
Okay. Well, okay, how quick is this going to be? Oh, so many water images in these readings. So that's
lots of water.
Yeah, that suggests bathing to me. You might want to do cleansing baths, nice simple ones. You know, you can do so many good things with salt and bay leaf. Just boil up bay leaves like you were making herb tea. And pour a teapot full into a tub of water with a little handful of salt and say some prayers. Psalm 23 is good because, you know, it's just the all-purpose, wonderful psalm.
Yeah, I say that all the time.
You will say it again and make your bay leaf and salt bath. And that's a good, simple cleanser. There are so many different fine cleansing baths. You know, pick one if you want something with a little more punch than that and use that. I'd like to see you wear a charm against the evil eye, just in case. My favorite is the Hand of Fatima, or Hand of Miriam, or Hamsa Hand. It goes by all three names. The ones that look like a hand with an eye in the palm.
Okay.
And Lucky Mojo has a pretty good selection. I like to have keychains hanging from the soap caddy in the bathroom, so I'm protected even when I'm stark naked and have no jewelry on.
Okay.
Now, when you come to bring in good luck, stick with the bay leaf and use five-finger grass, maybe a little sugar, okay? And you wash from your feet upwards, of course, for an attraction bath. Now, your cleansing bath, I would like to see you dispose of all this water pouring, water breaking through, as Ali said. Pour those cleansing baths away, I would say even in three places, a little in your yard, a little at the crossroads, a little against a tree. But make sure you wash that stuff away, okay? And then I've got to put my glasses back on. When you do your good luck baths, recite Psalm 133, because one of the things you want to attract is mentors and teachers. They're everywhere, and you need to know where they are. So bay leaves for favor, five-finger grass for competence, and get some King Solomon wisdom in there so you recognize them when they come, and so you can tend to the lessons they bring you. Write a letter to God with some of these herbs wrapped up in it. And if you have an ancestor or a family member who has passed that you are on good terms with, slide that behind their picture and ask for their help. Burn alternating yellow and white candles. Or, since we've been talking about crappy candles, get some white ones and get glass holders for them. You could even use tea lights. A yellow one and a clear one. Check out the thrift stores. I often find mine there.
Okay.
And that's really good advice. Jeremy Magana asks, what days and moon phase should she do this? Well, first of all, Joby, before I let Michael answer that, not all root workers work by days or by moon phase, but many do. So it isn't a foregone conclusion that she would work by days or moon phase. But let's say she asked that question, what would be the answer, Ms. Michael?
My answer?
Yeah, your answer.
Oh, well, I am one of those workers that does not work by moon phases. Okay.
And well, there we go.
Right. We've got two kinds of work here, and I want them to follow closely in succession. In fact, you know, I wouldn't say do a dark of the moon, 2 weeks dark of the moon bathing, and not until then do you do your attraction as the moon waxes.
Okay.
No.
But you told your truth, Michael.
Okay.
Don't have to sugarcoat it. So
okay.
Joby Magana wrote moon ritual. Baby, no moon ritual.
Not this time.
Okay, not with Ms. Michael on your team.
No, Thursday and
is,
Sunday.
We aren't Wicca here, so we don't do moon rituals. Okay, just saying.
Okay.
All right, we're just gonna. What was it? Little Richard said. We're gonna get to the point where everyone can just, you know, I'm not from Africa. I'm from Macon, Georgia. Okay,
that's
got
right.
that? Okay, and I'm not from Ireland either. I'm from Macon, Georgia, and I'm not from, you know, wherever the fuck all.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take what you take in hoodoo. You got to take what you take. It is what it is. It ain't going to be something else. And it ain't going to be Wicca. It ain't going to have no moon rituals. God bless Margot Adler, a distant relative of mine, a lovely woman, so sorely missed. But we ain't drawing down the moon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. All right. Let's turn it over to Ms. Tammy Lee. Or Papa Nude.
Well, yes, ma'am, Ms. Cat, and y'all, here we go. We've got about 23 minutes left in our show, and the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is the first show of its type ever to be made available to the public, and it remains the longest-running folk magic radio show to date. Listen by telephone or listen to the archive podcast on iTunes. Either way, you're going to love it. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then dial 818-394-8535 during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you're available to be on the air. And if your call is chosen, you will get a reading and rootwork consultation with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com and Conjurement Ali of ConjurementAli.com, and this week's very special guest from air, Ms. Michael of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California. Tune in every week at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. Now we're going to go ahead and go back to the phones and take our next new client who's signed up to be on the air. And our next new client is calling in from area code 803. This is Maxie. Maxie, are you there, caller?
I'm here. How are y'all?
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to the show.
I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that this is your first time calling into the show and that you have not yet, as you indicated per the forum, gone to any other readers or root workers or members of AIR. Okay? And
okay.
Here we go. And we write, it's a property. I'm a trustee that has been cursed using cremation ashes of one, possibly two people. Trustee, okay, once again, trustee. Okay, turning it back over to you.
All right, so I guess I'm going to ask a couple of questions here, clarify what we're looking at. Do you you want to tell us that, but do you want us to give you a recipe for undoing the curse that, of the cremation ashes of one, possibly two people? Do you want us to verify what you know to be true or believe to be true? What are you asking for, verification or some prescriptive rites or work that you can do?
Well, both is possible. I mean, verification of how many bodies are there and who did it.
All right. All right. Okay. So I'm going to ask you a couple more questions, just
okay.
out of my curiosity here, and I want to kind of focus on the world's a big place. So give me a little help. Where is this located? Not you don't give me the town, but what state, what country, where are we at?
Okay, it's in South Carolina.
South Carolina. All right. And the ashes were used to curse because someone someone wanted the property. Is that what they were trying to do, or they wanted the people who lived on the property to be harmed?
Well, no one. The house was empty when they did it, and well, it was some relatives of mine, some cousins.
All right. I understand.
I
all right.
Think
so
they wish that it was given to them instead of us.
I understand. So this is a revenge curse. You know something? Property I live on myself. I live on 2 acres of property.
Mm-hmm.
It was cursed by it was cursed a different way by a woman who, with her husband, owned the property, and they got in trouble with the bank, and they got foreclosed. This is back in the 1980s. And she was just determined that nobody else could have that property, and she put a curse on the property. And we found the things that she had laid down. She physically laid down stuff, and I've talked about that before and on the radio show. I don't want to bore everybody, but we had to burn everything. I mean, we had to burn what she had laid down. And she, many years later, I met her, and she said, I'm sorry I did that. I was just in a mood. You know, I was going through a divorce, losing the property, and I didn't even think that I wasn't the right thing to do. I wasn't in my right mind. But and she admitted it. So, yes, those things do happen. It's not unusual for people out of revenge to curse a piece of property. All right.
Okay.
First I have is, it was about money, the Ace of Pentacles. This shows a beautiful garden with the hand of God holding a coin over it, and that is a card of money. But it also shows me something else here, that although the property may have been cursed, that curse was not as strong as those people would wish it to be, because God has a hand in here too. And God is saying, you can only go so far against, you know, what's right. Number two card I have is the Six of Cups. This shows a little boy and a girl in a courtyard. It's about protection. It's a card of protection. Little children all bundled up against the cold weather. They're giving gifts to each other. They have flowers. Now, there's flowers in that first card, the Ace of Pentacles, too. So what I'm seeing here is that you might want to consider some protection for the place. All right. So that's my take on it. But this is, you know, what we really want to do here is talk about what to do. You wanted a reading. I gave you a quick one. I think you're confirmed. There is something that has happened here. But I want to turn this over to Ms. Michael and actually to tell you what to do, because that's how we better spend our time. Okay?
Okay.
You were right.
Thank
in other words, you were right. But let's just give you some ideas of what to do.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, all right. What to do? And I was all prepared to do another reading.
No, we don't need a reading. She's all
right.
Got her thing. Yeah.
All right. I'm thinking that you should protect the corners of the property, just to claim it as if it was yours, because you are the trustee. You are legally in charge of it. It's your responsibility. But instead of using sharp objects or red, you know, cans of Red Devil Lye with that Red Devil picture on them, I would use candles. I would either carry a candle around the property, make it a white one, and I would say put some psychic vision oil on it and a pinch of sugar and a little licorice root or calamus or a piece of master root. I would say carry a master root in your pocket, okay? Because you are in charge and you are carrying out your duty, not just being a slave master, okay? And I would, at each corner of the property, leave a letter to God. You can make four copies of the same letter, or you can write a slightly different letter for each corner and wrap those same herbs in the paper. You might even want to put each one in a small box, like an Altoids box, and bury it.
Okay.
And you are appealing to the people whose ashes were used to allow you to do right by the family and by the land. And see if you can make friends with them, if you can.
Okay.
Say, yeah, and you know, say, I respect you, now you must respect me. You may send me a message if you can respect
cremation
me.
Ashes, these cremation ashes are also a family members, is that correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't make. You see what she's saying? She's saying you can't treat those as an enemy.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
And they can't treat you as an enemy either.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Let's see what Ollie has to say.
You know, I'm going to give you something that's straight out of Virginia and South Carolina and Conjure. The person who taught me root-work when I was younger. Was very tied to the Virginian Conjure, but her family actually came from South Carolina, very closely tied to Gula magic and the way of working with kind of the restless dead, specifically ancestors. Both Virginia and South Carolina deal with ancestors in a little bit more restless dead fashion or fearful dead fashion. For example, you're not supposed to respond if you hear an ancestor call your name. It usually means an ancestor is calling you to the grave, so you're not supposed to. So one of the ways of working was with funerals. If these ashes have been spread on the property, one of the ways of doing a way of kind of tempering it and keeping it from turning into a curse is to give them a mock funeral, to give them a funeral to put them at rest and to give them peace. Now you can do this on the property itself if you want them to be there, or you can take it elsewhere. You can gather some of the dirt, you know, from the property as a representation and take it to an actual cemetery. And
my theory exactly.
Yeah. And you hold a funeral there and you call their names and you pray over them and you pour water over a sort of fresh grave, right, to cool the spirit, and you give them respect. You know, they are family, they are blood, they are ancestors, right? And you say, be at peace now. Our family should be whole. You should be whole. Go to sleep. Be restful. And pray. Read right from the Bible from it. Hold the funeral. Another common thing is to, if you have their photos, take your photos there. If you have an item of theirs, you take it to the cemetery where you're kind of burying them and giving them their own burial plot, and you break that item onto the grave, right, or the proxy grave. And this isn't a violent act. It's just saying, these are your things, take it with you, right?
Okay.
This is often does with favorite dishes, especially in South Carolina. You just kind of break their favorite dish, their favorite toy, and you say, this is yours, take it with you, no one else is going to be using this. I would recommend doing something like that. Then afterwards, come back home and follow up with the protection and kind of cleansing work that Ms. Mikel recommends, where you mark your territory and kind of make it your own. But I would first put them at rest with that work.
Okay.
And let's see if Kat has anything to add to that.
All right. Well, Ollie and me think so much alike. I was going to come up with a very similar idea. I was taught to do it a little different, but it's the same idea, and it's just what I learned was more Mississippi style, but it's the same idea.
Yeah.
So you would want to, this is used not only if a piece of land has been cursed because something bad happened on it, just as an example. I'm going to give a bunch of examples here so we can see how this situation of yours can be seen to lead to a whole family of spell work that deals with cursed ground, okay? Let's say a murder occurred on a piece of land. That was not a curse, but it was a horrific event. And let's say the murderer was never found and the blood of the person who was slain is in the ground, right, and crying out. Mm-hmm. That is a piece of cursed ground, right? Another one. Let's say a graveyard was torn up to make a mm-hmm. parking lot, right? It's cursed. I mean, you know, there's just mm-hmm. that's just going to be cursed ground. And then they tore yeah. the parking lot down and they put an apartment complex in it and everybody's all fucked up, okay? That's mm-hmm. a piece of cursed ground. The old yeah. old Indian burial ground curse, right? Another mm-hmm. another way to do it is they took and went to a graveyard. This is more similar to yours, where they took the cremation ashes of someone who was of the family. But let's say they went and they took a murderer's dirt from a graveyard, and they said, I'm going to just draw a big old X right across this property, and it's going to be a property of violence because this man walked with a gun, and he shot people, and he punched people in the face, and this place was cursed forever. And I've known that to be done, by the way, to a juke joint, a place that was a dance hall, and somebody really had it in for them, and they circled this and drew an X on it with dirt that they claimed. I don't know, because I was just a young one, but they claimed it was the dirt of some noted bad man, right, to put that restless spirit in there. Now, all of these types of curses of ground can be dealt with in similar ways. Miss Michael talked about putting up things on the corners. I would start from Ali's work first and then move to Miss Michael's. In other words, I'd do them in reverse order. What he okay. talked about was taking some of the dirt and giving it a proper burial. Now, okay. The other way would be to turn those spirits to your help. In other words, if they were literally your family members, you could make an offering to them in situ, where they are, right there, pour some water, and say, I honor you, Uncle Joe and Aunt Betty, and you're welcome to remain on this land, but please don't cause anyone to follow you prematurely to the grave, but just watch over us all. That's just settling them where they are. But if they had some reason to complain, or if they were from a negative part of the family, or part of the family that was not so friendly, you could take their dirt. Now, I would take it from the four corners, and I actually literally would go in the middle or draw an X and pick up dirt. Or if you knew where that dirt was, cremation ashes was scattered, I would dig up there. I'd pour water on it. You can't pull up everything. This isn't like radioactive decontamination of a Superfund site. You can't pull up all the topsoil, but you're going to take a symbolic amount, pour water down on the rest of it, and then take that dirt and take it to a graveyard. If you have a family plot or a family graveyard, and they were cremated but not buried in that graveyard, you're going to take them to their parents, grandparents, someone of the family whom they respected, right? Mm-hmm. And you're going to put it there, even in a little box or a little bowl or a little urn, and say, now, mm-hmm. and Uncle Joe and Aunt Betty, I know you were not treated with respect after your death, but I'm going to put you here with, Grandma Johnson, and she's going to look after you. And don't come troubling us anymore. And I will always bring you flowers, and I will always pay respects here on Decoration Day. Amen. Right? And that's how you do it for them.
Okay.
Now, somebody in the chat room, Joby Magana, asked, what if it's a sidewalk? Yes, people will curse a sidewalk. Well, you just sweep it up with a broom, honey. You know, you just do it what you can. You can wash it down. Some people will use a wash like Chinese wash and water to clear off bad things. But if the bad thing is something that in itself isn't bad, in other words, a spirit of death, isn't it in itself a bad thing, unless that was really an ill-intentioned person, you don't want to just kill it. It's not just like a jinx killer type thing. Now, another one that's used, if a mother dies and she starts to haunt her children, she's not doing it out of bad spirit, but she comes in, and children are crying all the time, oh, my mommy, and they can't sleep, and they're having nightmares, and they're waking up screaming. You do the opposite. You go to her grave in the cemetery, and you pull up some of her dirt, and you say, Mama, I'm taking you to see your baby. Stop troubling them.
Yes.
And you spread some of her dirt around, and you say, now, don't be crying anymore. No more haunting these babies. You can be with them now. So there are many ways to do this, working with the spirits of the dead that go between the graveyard and the property. All right? I hope I answered your question.
Yes, you did, and thank you all so very much.
All right. Well, good luck to you, and I think you know what to do now. I think you'll be able to handle this. All right. Good luck to you, baby.
All right.
All right.
All of that.
So God bless you. All right. So now we're going to go on to our announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, and we're going to get next to our free spell from Miss Michael.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And, y'all, we have about 6 minutes remaining in today's Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. And, y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is hosted each and every week by Conjurman Ali and Miss Catherine Ironwood and, of course, the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. Miss Michael, I'm going to go ahead and turn this back over to you for our free spell section. Miss Michael is located, y'all, in Willits, California. Miss Michael?
Thank you, Ms. Tammy Lee. Okay, we're circling back to our original theme of the panel discussion, unforeseen roadblocks and underlying issues. This is a spell I actually posted on the Lucky Mojo forum last year, a spell to make a distant lover drug-free. A lady was had been burning candles by her loved one's picture. He had moved 6 hours away, and he was addicted to drugs. And so she was, you know, doing simple candle work with uncrossing and return to me, which would be great, except that he was living with the woman who had hexed him and was giving him drugs.
Mm.
So I told her to do the classic moving candle breakup spell, which is on the breakup page at Lucky Mojo, but to include an extra candle to represent the other woman, who's traditionally represented by a black, naked female candle. I said, get another one and name it drugs, or name it for the drug that he's addicted to. So he has to break up from both of them. And use black cat hair and black dog hair, so he not only fights with this other woman, but he fights with his drug, too. And use cast off evil, mix it up with all the other breakup supplies and everything. Okay? It is often a good idea to shift the direction of a traditional spell just a little bit by using a product from another line like this. Okay? And then to bring him back home between the man's candle and her own candle, you, as usual, sprinkle a trail of come to me candle, and then every inch or so, put a little tiny lodestone, just a package of lodestone grits, so that he's drawn back two ways, with the powerful, you know, the wonderful spiritual power of these herbs and the wonderful drawing power of lodestone. She could even load both of their candles with a lodestone grit if she wanted to.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's
that
lovely.
Really good.
It was fun.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, here comes our music. So we're going to let Miss Tammy Lee take us out.
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. Thank you, Miss Kat, and Condiment Ali. And thank you so much, Miss Michael of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California, for being our very special guest member from AIR this week. We invite you to tune in next week when our special guest member from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers will be Professor Porterfield in Denton, Texas at ProfessorPorterfield.com. And once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from Triple Crown Conjure in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. And thank you so much, my friend Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com, for hanging in there with me, my buddy. Sending it back over to you, Miss Kat. Thank you so much. Y'all be blessed.
Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee. And I want to give a big thank you to everybody in the chat room. And to Jovi Magana, don't worry. you know, you'll get the hang of this stuff. I know you're going, I need to cleanse. And I'm like, nah, cleansing is for when you do something bad. So I just want to say that there's a lot more to hoodoo than a set of rules. And this is a show that proved that. We broke all the rules today. We had two announcers. We skipped the readings. We went right to the root work. We had a bit of rant and rave. We broke all the rules. And that's where hoodoo is. Hoodoo is a cultural treasure. And culture is not a set of rules. It's not a game. Okay? All righty. Thank you, Ms. Michael, for being
You're welcome.
Guest. I always love having you on. Thank you, Ali, as always. And stay tuned. The Lucky Mojo newsletter will be coming your way just a few days late, filled with teacups. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.